The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. An audio summary narrated for the AIIIO Book Library. This was published in 1998, written by Robert Greene and packaged by Joost Elfers, and it has sold in the millions. It is one of the most requested books in American prison libraries and one of the most frequently banned. It is quoted constantly in hip-hop, and it sits on a great many executive bookshelves, usually without comment. The premise is that power is a game with rules, that the rules have been the same for several thousand years, and that most people lose because they refuse to admit they are playing. Greene assembled the laws from history, the courts of Louis XIV and Elizabeth I, the careers of Talleyrand, Bismarck and Cardinal Richelieu, the con artists of the 19th century, the strategists Sun Tzu and Machiavelli, and two Renaissance handbooks that are the book's real ancestors, Castiglione's Book of the Courtier and Balthazar Gracian's Art of Worldly Wisdom. Before anything else, the honest framing. This book describes manipulation, and it describes it well, with no moral commentary attached. Greene's own defense is that he is being descriptive rather than prescriptive, that this is how power has actually operated, whether or not we like it, and that knowing the moves protects you from them. That defense is partly fair and partly a dodge, because the book is written in the imperative. It says, do this, not people have done this. The most useful way to read it, and the way this summary will treat it, is as a field guide for recognizing what is being done to you, rather than a manual for doing it to others. Both readings are available in the text. Only one of them tends to end well, for reasons the summary will come back to at the end. Each of the 48 laws follows the same architecture, and knowing it makes the book far easier to use. First, the law itself, stated as a command in a few words. Then a section called transgression of the law, or observance of the law, or often both. Historical stories of someone who broke the law and was destroyed, and someone who followed it and prospered. These are the bulk of the book, and they are genuinely well told. Greene is a very good narrator of historical anecdote, then interpretation, which explains what the story was supposed to demonstrate, then keys to power, the practical general discussion of how the principle works and how to apply it. And finally, and this is the part almost everyone skips, reversal. Each law ends with the circumstances in which the law does not apply or in which its opposite is the better move. The reversals matter enormously because they are where Greene admits that the laws are situational rather than absolute. They are also, as we will see, the reason the system is difficult to argue with. Running down the margins of every page are quotations, fables, and fragments, chosen by the designer Joost Elfers. The physical design of the book, with its heavy paper and red and black printing, deliberately evokes a Renaissance manual of instruction. That was a marketing decision and a very effective one. Before the individual laws, it is worth pulling out the recurring principles, because the 48 are variations on perhaps 8 underlying ideas. The first is that appearance is the operative reality. Almost half the laws are about managing perception rather than changing substance, reputation, spectacle, the seeming of effortlessness, the concealment of intention. Greene's claim is not that substance does not matter, but that in any social arena, people respond to what they can see, and what they can see is what you have chosen to show them. The second is indirection. Direct assertion, direct argument, and direct request are treated throughout as amateur moves. The book's consistent advice is to arrange circumstances so the other person arrives at your desired outcome apparently by themselves. The third is emotional self-removal. Nearly every failure story in the book is someone acting on a feeling. Wounded pride, impatience, the need to be right, the need to be liked, the urge to explain themselves. Greene's ideal actor feels all of that and acts on none of it. The fourth is that other people's self-interest is the only reliable lever. Appeals to mercy, gratitude, fairness, or friendship are treated as unreliable. Appeals to what someone actually wants are treated as dependable. The fifth is attention as currency. Being noticed is treated as a prerequisite for everything else, and the book is unusually frank that any attention outperforms none. The sixth is concentration over dispersal. Force applied at one point beats force spread thin, whether that force is your time, your effort, or your alliances. The seventh is the management of dependence. You want others to need you, and you want to avoid needing them, which is why the book is so hostile to accepting favors. And the eighth, which arrives properly only in the final law, is formlessness, the refusal to settle into a fixed position that an opponent can study and predict. Now the laws themselves, each with what it actually means. 1. Never outshine the master. Make those above you feel superior, and never display your talents in a way that makes a superior feel insecure, because their insecurity is more dangerous to you than their gratitude is useful. 2. Never put too much trust in friends. Learn how to use enemies. Friends are hired out of sentiment and resent being indebted. A former enemy, given the chance to prove himself, has more to demonstrate and less to take for granted. 3. Conceal your intentions. Keep people off balance by never revealing the purpose behind your actions. If they cannot see where you are going, they cannot prepare a defense. 4. Always say less than necessary. The more you say, the more ordinary you appear, and the more you expose. Silence makes people uncomfortable, and uncomfortable people fill the space with information. 5. So much depends on reputation. Guard it with your life. Reputation is the thing that does your work when you are not in the room. Defend your own, and understand that attacking an opponent is often more effective than attacking the opponent. 6. Court attention at all costs. Be conspicuous. Anything is better than being overlooked, and the book is explicit that even notoriety is preferable to obscurity. 7. Get others to do the work for you, but always take the credit. Use other people's skill and effort to advance your own cause, and make sure the result is associated with your name. 8. Make other people come to you, use bait if necessary, force the other party to act, and you control the terms. The person who moves first surrenders the initiative. 9. Win through your actions, never through argument. Any momentary triumph you win by argument is a defeat, because the resentment it produces lasts longer than the agreement. Demonstrate instead. 10. Infection. Avoid the unhappy and unlucky. Green's most callous law. Emotional states are contagious, and chronically unfortunate people, he argues, draw you into their misfortune. 11. Learn to keep people dependent on you. Your independence rests on being needed. Never teach anyone enough that they can do without you. 12. Use selective honesty and generosity to disarm your victim. One sincere and generous gesture buys down a great deal of suspicion, and it is cheaper than sustained deception. 13. When asking for help, appeal to people's self-interest, never to their mercy or gratitude. Reminding someone of a past favor makes them resent the debt. Showing them a present advantage makes them cooperate. 14. Pose as a friend, work as a spy. Gather intelligence in ordinary conversation. People will tell you a great deal if you make it comfortable to talk. 15. Crush your enemy totally. A half-defeated opponent recovers and returns. Green borrows this from Chinese and Roman practice and states it without any softening at all. 16. Use absence to increase respect and honor. Presence, past a certain point, cheapens. Withdraw and you become talked about. Stay and you become furniture. 17. Keep others in suspended terror. Cultivate an air of unpredictability. Predictability hands the other side control. Occasional inexplicable behavior prevents them from reading you. 18. Do not build fortresses to protect yourself. Isolation is dangerous. Withdrawal from the world cuts you off from information and allies. The book treats isolation as the most common self-inflicted defeat. 19. Know who you are dealing with. Do not offend the wrong person. There are people who will not forget, will not stop, and have no interest in a settlement. Identify them before you act. 20. Do not commit to anyone. Independence of alliance keeps you valuable to all sides and owned by none. 21. Play a sucker to catch a sucker. Seem dumber than your mark. Nobody guards themselves against someone they think is slower than they are. 22. Use the surrender tactic. Transform weakness into power. When weaker, do not fight for honor. Surrender buys you time, denies your opponent the satisfaction of a victory, and leaves you standing. 23. Concentrate your forces. Intensity beats extensity. Find the rich vein and mine it, rather than scattering effort across many. 24. Play the perfect courtier. the longest chapter and effectively a compressed handbook of court behavior, never seem to be working too hard, practice nonchalance, avoid unsolicited opinions, adjust your style to the person in front of you. 25. Recreate yourself. Do not accept the role society hands you. Construct a public identity deliberately in the way an actor constructs a character. 26. Keep your hands clean. Maintain a spotless appearance by using others to do the unpleasant work and have someone available to blame when it goes wrong. This is the law most people find hardest to defend. 27. Play on people's need to believe to create a cult-like following. Offer something to believe in, keep it vague, emphasize enthusiasm over specifics, and structure a group around it. Green lays out the mechanics of this with an accuracy that is not comfortable to read. 28. Enter action with boldness. Hesitation is more damaging than a wrong decision. Everyone can see timidity, and it invites interference. 29. Plan all the way to the end. Play to the final move, not the next one. Most disasters come from people who could see one step ahead and stopped there. 30. Make your accomplishments seem effortless. Conceal the labor. Visible effort invites questions and diminishes the mystique of the result. 31. Control the options, get others to play with the cards you deal. The strongest position is to let the other party choose freely between options you selected. 32. Play to people's fantasies. The truth is often unwelcome. People will follow whoever offers the more attractive story about what is possible. 33. Discover each man's thumbscrew. Everyone has an insecurity, an uncontrolled emotion, or an unmet need, and it functions as a lever. 34. Be royal in your own fashion. Act like a king to be treated like one. Your own estimate of your worth sets the ceiling on other people's. 35. Master the art of timing. Recognize the spirit of the times and wait for the moment. Impatience is treated throughout the book as the most expensive personal quality. 36. Disdain things you cannot have. Ignoring them is the best revenge. Acknowledging a petty problem gives it standing. Refusing to engage is a demonstration of power in itself. 37. Create compelling spectacles. Striking visuals and symbolic gestures do work that argument cannot, because people are moved by what they see rather than by what they are told. 38. Think as you like, but behave like others. Flaunting unconventional ideas invites the group to punish you. Keep the thinking private and the behavior ordinary. 39. Stir up waters to catch fish. Stay calm and provoke others into losing their composure, because an angry person reveals their position and makes mistakes. 40. Despise the free lunch. What is free carries an obligation or a hidden cost. Paying your own way preserves your independence, and generosity is more useful as something you extend than as something you accept. 41. Avoid stepping into a great man's shoes. Succeeding a famous predecessor guarantees unfavorable comparison. Establish your own ground rather than inheriting theirs. 42. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Trouble usually originates with one or two individuals. Identify them and neutralize them rather than arguing with the group. 43. Work on the hearts and minds of others. Coercion produces compliance and resentment. Seduction produces cooperation that lasts. Understand what the other person values and appeal to that. 44. Disarm and infuriate with the mirror effect. Reflect an opponent's behavior back at them precisely. It unsettles them, teaches them nothing, and reveals a great deal to you. 45. Preach the need for change, but never reform too much at once. People say they want change and are deeply attached to habit. Frame innovation as a return to the past, and it will be accepted. 46. Never appear too perfect. Envy is dangerous and largely invisible until it acts. Admit to a harmless flaw or two so that those around you have somewhere to put their resentment. 47. Do not go past the mark you aimed for. In victory, learn when to stop. The moment after a win is when people overreach, and Green treats this as the single most common cause of a reversal of fortune. 48. Assume formlessness. The final law and the one that reframes the rest. Any fixed shape can be studied and attacked. Stay fluid, adapt, and refuse to be defined by a strategy that worked last time. This has to be addressed because it is the most common objection and Green's answer to it is revealing. Law 1 says never outshine the master. Law 6 says court attention at all costs. Law 20 says do not commit to anyone. Law 24 says play the perfect courtier, which requires sustained commitment to a particular court. Law 15 says crush your enemy totally. Law 2 says learn how to use enemies. Law 28 says enter action with boldness. Law 22 says use the surrender tactic. Law 5 says guard your reputation with your life. Law 46 says never appear too perfect. These are not oversights. Green addresses it directly, and the reversal section at the end of each law exists partly for this purpose. His position is that the laws are tools rather than commandments, that judgment selects which applies, and that the mark of skill is knowing which situation you are in. That is a reasonable position for a practitioner and a fatal one for a theory, because a system in which every rule has a licensed opposite cannot be wrong. Whatever happens, one of the 48 explains it, and whatever you did, one of the 48 endorses it. This is the deepest criticism of the book, and it is worth holding on to. The laws are unfalsifiable as a set, which means they are best understood as a vocabulary for describing power rather than a method for acquiring it. The intellectual lineage is worth knowing because it explains both the strengths and the weaknesses. Machiavelli's Prince is the obvious ancestor, and Green shares its central move, describing political behavior as it is rather than as it should be. But Machiavelli was writing about the survival of states in a specific historical crisis. Green is writing about individuals in offices. Gratian's Art of Worldly Wisdom, a 17th century Spanish collection of 300 aphorisms on navigating a treacherous court, is the closer model, and several laws are recognizably Gratian compressed. Castiglione's Book of the Courtier supplies most of Law 24, including the concept of sprezzatura, the studied nonchalance that conceals effort, which is Law 30 in Renaissance dress. Sun Tzu supplies the strategic material, formlessness, deception, choosing ground, and the preference for winning without fighting. And then the historical anecdotes, which are the book's texture, Talleyrand surviving every French regime in turn, Bismarck's calculated provocations, the courtiers of Versailles, P.T. Barnum, and a long parade of confidence tricksters whose techniques Green treats as instructive rather than merely criminal. The strength of this method is that the stories are vivid and memorable. The weakness is that history is being used as illustration rather than evidence. Green has selected episodes that fit the law and told them in a way that confirms it, and the reader has no way of knowing how many contrary episodes were left out. The audience for this book is worth examining because it says something the book itself does not. It is enormously popular among people who feel structurally powerless. It is one of the most read and most confiscated books in American prisons. It has a substantial following in hip-hop, where it is cited by name in lyrics and interviews. It circulates widely among young men entering competitive industries. The common factor is that these are people who suspect the official account of how things work is not the real account, and who want the real one. That instinct is not paranoid, and it is a large part of why the book resonates. It confirms a suspicion that most polite advice avoids, that a lot of what determines outcomes is positional, social, and theatrical rather than meritocratic. It is also popular in business, though usually less openly. And there is a third readership worth naming, which is people who have been on the receiving end of a manipulator and are reading it to work out what happened to them. For that reader, the book is genuinely valuable, and it is the reading this summary recommends. Here is the reasonable criticism, and it is substantial. The evidence is anecdote. Every law is supported by stories selected because they support it. There is no attempt at counterexample, no consideration of base rates, and no accounting for the many people who followed these principles and failed. This is survivorship bias operating as a method rather than as an accident. The advice is partly self-defeating. Follow enough of these laws visibly, and you become the sort of person nobody trusts, which is a poor long-term position in any repeated game. Law 26, keep your hands clean, and Law 7, take the credit, work exactly once per relationship. Green is writing about courts, which were closed systems with fixed populations, and applying that to environments where reputations travel is a genuine transplant error. It underestimates cooperation. A substantial body of research on organizations points the other way, that trust lowers coordination costs, that generous reciprocators outperform over time, and that most durable advantage comes from being someone others want to work with. The book has almost nothing to say about this, because its historical sources are drawn from environments where it was not true. The moral framing is evasive. Green says he is describing rather than prescribing, but the laws are written as imperatives. The successful manipulators are the heroes of the anecdotes, and the reader is plainly positioned as the one who will apply them. You cannot write a manual in the second person imperative and then claim to be an anthropologist. And as covered, the system is unfalsifiable. With 48 laws and a reversal attached to each, no outcome can contradict it. What survives is still worth having. The book is an excellent taxonomy of manipulation. It names moves that most people experience without being able to describe, and naming them is protective. Its observations about envy, about the danger of the moment after victory, about the cost of arguing rather than demonstrating, and about the way emotional reactivity hands away control, are all sound and useful, regardless of what you intend to do with them. If you take one thing from this summary, take this. The book is far more useful as a detection manual than as an instruction manual. Read that way. The laws become a list of things to notice when they are being done to you. Someone concealing their intentions. Someone who has made themselves indispensable. Someone whose accomplishments are always effortless and whose labor is invisible. Someone getting others to do the work and appearing at the announcement. Someone who has found your thumbscrew and returns to it. Someone offering a free lunch. Someone appealing to your gratitude rather than your interest. Each of those is a recognizable pattern, and recognizing it early is worth a great deal. There is also a small set of the 48 that are defensible as ordinary conduct rather than manipulation, and they are the ones worth actually adopting. Say less than necessary. Do not argue when you can demonstrate. Concentrate your effort rather than scattering it. Plan to the end rather than to the next step. Do not isolate yourself. Learn when to stop after a win. Watch your reactivity, because whoever provokes you first is steering you. That is perhaps 8 laws out of 48 that you could follow openly and still be someone people want to work with. The other 40 are worth understanding and, mostly, worth declining. The 48 Laws of Power is a genuinely useful book and a genuinely dangerous one, and the danger is not the one people usually name. The obvious risk is that a reader takes it as a license and becomes unpleasant. The subtler risk is that a reader takes it as a complete description of the world and starts seeing every interaction as a positional contest, at which point they will find plenty of evidence, because a person who behaves that way is soon surrounded by people responding in kind. Power dynamics are real, they are frequently unacknowledged, and refusing to see them is its own kind of naivety. But they are one layer of human dealings, not the whole of it, and the book cannot tell you that because it has nothing else to describe. Read it to see the moves. Be careful about becoming the sort of person who only sees moves. That was the summary of The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. This narration is an original summary and commentary, and it paraphrases rather than reproduces the text. If it caught you, read the real thing. From the AIIO Book Library. Thank you for listening.